Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Grant Loof South by Bruce Catton is a narrative military history and biographical study of Ulysses S. Grant during the formative Civil War years from 1861 to 1863, as the middle volume in the larger Grant trilogy begun by Loy Lewis and continued by Catton. The book concentrates on the period in which Grant moved from relative obscurity to national military importance. Its central subject is not Grant as president or his final victor over Robert E. Lee, but Grant as a developing commander in the Western Theater. Catton follows the campaigns around Belmont, Fort Henry, Fort Donelson, Shiloh, the Mississippi operations, and Vicksburg, showing how a quiet and politically awkward officer became the Union general most capable of converting strategic opportunity into operational results. The book combines battlefield narrative, command analysis, and broader Civil War context, making it both a biography of military growth and an account of why the Western campaigns mattered to Union victory. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant emergence from obscurity in the Western theater. A central focus of Grant Moves South is the transformation of Ulysses S. Grant from a marginal pre-war figure into a commander whose results could not be ignored. Catton does not present this rise as inevitable. Grant begins the war with limited influence, no glamorous reputation, and little skill in military politics. The Western theater gives him room to prove himself because it rewards action more than social standing. His early service with Illinois Volunteers, his movement into Missouri and Kentucky, and his willingness to take responsibility all become part of a larger pattern. Catton emphasizes that Grant learned by acting under imperfect conditions rather than by waiting for ideal clarity. This matters because many Union commanders in the East were constrained by caution, public expectation, and fear of political consequences. Grant in the West developed a different habit of command. He pushed forward, accepted risk, and treated setbacks as problems to be solved rather than reasons to retreat from initiative. The book, therefore, makes Grant rise understandable as a sequence of tested judgments, not a simple tale of hidden genius suddenly revealed. Secondly, Fort Henry and Fort Donelson as tests of offensive command. The campaigns against Fort Henry and Fort Donelson are among the most important episodes in the book, because they show Grant beginning to shape events rather than merely respond to them. These operations opened key river routes and helped undermine Confederate control in Kentucky and Tennessee. Catton treats them as more than isolated battlefield victories. They reveal how geography, naval cooperation, weather, timing, and command resolve could combine to produce strategic consequences. Fort Henry demonstrated the value of river mobility, while Fort Donelson tested Grant against a more demanding situation involving resistance, confusion, and negotiation over surrender. His insistence on unconditional surrender became famous, but Catton is more interested in what the episode showed about temperament. Grant was not theatrically aggressive, yet he refused to concede momentum once he had it. The victories also altered how Washington and the wider public saw him. They gave the Union tangible success at a moment when Eastern operations had produced frustration. In Catton analysis, these battles mark the point at which Grant becomes a commander whose practical instinct for pressure begins to matter on a national scale. Thirdly, Shiloh and the education of Grant under battlefield shock. Catton gives the Battle of Shiloh a crucial place because it complicates any simple portrait of Grant as an effortlessly successful commander. Shiloh exposed weaknesses in preparation, intelligence, and battlefield control, and it produced casualties on a scale that shocked the North. The battle forced Grant and the Union command to confront the brutal reality that the Civil War would not be won by a few quick maneuvers or by assuming Confederate collapse. Catton does not reduce Shiloh to either a failure or a triumph. Instead, he presents it as a severe test in which Grant was surprised, battered, and nearly overwhelmed, yet did not mentally concede defeat. His ability to hold on through the first day and support the counterattack on the second becomes part of Catton's broader argument about endurance in command. Shiloh also affected Grant's reputation, inviting criticism and political pressure, but Lincoln continued to value his capacity to fight. The importance of the episode lies in its educational force. Grant learned that persistence had to be joined to better organization, clearer coordination, and sober recognition of war scale. Fourthly, Vicksburg and the strategic meaning of the Mississippi River. The Vicksburg campaign gives Grant Loof South its largest strategic frame. Catton presents the struggle for Vicksburg as a contest over the Mississippi River, the communications artery that linked regions of the Confederacy and shaped the Union plan to divide the South. The campaign was not a single clean operation. It involved failed approaches, supply problems, difficult terrain, river movements, and repeated experiments before Grant found a workable solution. This is one reason Catton's treatment is valuable. He shows strategy as a process of adjustment, rather than a perfect design executed from the start. Grant's willingness to move below Vicksburg, loosen his dependence on long supply lines, and operate aggressively inside enemy territory marked a mature form of command. The campaign also demonstrated his ability to coordinate movement, pressure, and siege warfare while keeping the main objective in view. In the book, Vicksburg is not merely another victory. It is the proof that Grant could manage complexity across a wide operational field. Its fall changed the strategic balance by giving the Union control of the Mississippi and confirming Grant as the North's most effective general. Lastly, Catton's narrative method as military history with human scale. Grant moves south stands out because Catton writes military history with attention to both operational detail and human readability. He explains movements, campaigns, and command decisions without reducing the war to maps and orders. At the same time, he avoids turning Grant into a legend detached from institutional problems, rivalries, uncertainty, and error. Catton's narrative method depends on connecting battlefield events to the personalities and pressures that shape them. Grant appears as reserved, plain, and often underestimated, but also as unusually steady when events became dangerous. Other Union generals and political authorities are presented as part of the environment in which Grant had to operate, not merely as foils. This approach helps readers understand why military leadership in the Civil War required more than courage. It required interpreting incomplete information, managing subordinates, sustaining morale, dealing with public criticism, and recognizing when a local success could become a strategic opening. Catton's prose makes those relationships accessible without sacrificing seriousness. The result is a book that serves readers interested in biography, campaign history, and the practical mechanics of command under pressure. In conclusion, Grant Moves South is best suited for readers who want a serious but readable account of the Civil War Western Theater and the early military development of Ulysses S. Grant. It will be especially useful for Civil War enthusiasts, students of military leadership, and readers who know the Eastern battles better than the river campaigns of Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Its practical value lies in showing how command develops under pressure. Grant succeeds not because every decision is flawless, but because he maintains initiative, learns from danger, and keeps strategic objectives in view. Intellectually, the book helped correct an Eastern-centered view of the war by demonstrating that Union victory depended heavily on control of rivers, rail links, supply routes, and the Mississippi corridor. Compared with many campaign histories, Catton's work stands out for combining operational clarity with a strong biographical thread. Compared with narrower biographies of Grant, it gives sustained attention to the military environment that shaped him before his rise to overall command. The book is also distinctive because it portrays growth rather than finished greatness. Readers see Grant becoming effective through experience, controversy, failure, and persistence. That makes the work valuable not only as Civil War history, but as a study of leadership formed in demanding conditions. If you would like to support Bruce Catton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.